The Detroit Pistons finally cracked their losing streak that went before the All-Star break and a win against the Indiana Pacers. And they did this while starting one big. We're going to talk about why that was such a big deal in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And today's episode is brought to you by Ibotta. Gives you cash back on hundreds of grocery items from produce to personal care to pantry goods. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code LOCKED when you register. Go to the App Store, Google Play Store, and download the free Ibotta app today. So the Detroit Pistons finally cracked their losing streak. We just talked about on the last podcast that we didn't know when the Pistons were going to get a win again. Was it even possible the Pistons could go the rest of the year without getting a win? It was doom over here. All right? It was looking really bad for a while here. The Pistons had the longest losing streak in the NBA. They had lost their last 10 games. Like, it was tough. And they finally crack it in a win against the Indiana Pacers on 3-1-3 day at Little Caesars Arena. And this was a win that had just about every player that played fingerprints on it, besides Buddy Boeheim. He's just... We're not going to talk about him. But outside of him, and maybe even Isaiah Livers, who really struggled and left this game again with an injury, and that's a topic for a different day. Everyone else had a part to do with this victory. You had Amarui with 17, who we'll talk about later on in the podcast. Wiseman with 18. Magruder with 18. Killian with 10 and 11. Jalen Duren with 12 and 11. RJ Hampton with 15 off the bench. Corey Joseph with 22 off the bench. So everyone participated in this victory, but the biggest thing that I'm taking away from this game is that the Detroit Pistons did exactly what I said they should do in the last podcast. And I mentioned that there was a possibility that I would even start Amarui, their 10-day guy, because it just makes the lineup make sense on the floor. Well, with Bagley out the few games, we got to see that in this game tonight against the Indiana Pacers. Now, obviously, the Indiana Pacers are not a great team, obviously. The Indiana Pacers were without Tyrese Haliburton, but they were without Tyrese Haliburton last game, and they beat the Pistons. This game, they were without Tyrese Haliburton. The Pistons go away from starting two bigs. They start on the floor, Killian Hayes, James Wiseman. There's your pick-and-roll threats. You got Rodney Magruder, Isaiah Livers surrounding them. That's your spacing. And then Yuji Amarui, who has been a fine spacer since joining the Pistons, who also is cutting to the rim, space, knows how to space the floor, and is playing really good defense. Two wings who can play defense. You play one out, four, or one in, four out, and you just run pick and roll. And what happened? The Pistons looked like a functional NBA team again. Not only did they look like a functional NBA team, they absolutely were obliterating the Indiana Pacers. They got up by 31 at one point. 31 points. They were destroying the Indiana Pacers. And in that first quarter, Killian Hayes had 8 assists in that first quarter. All because you just gave a space floor and you just allowed your playmaker to pick it apart. Same thing would happen with Jaden Ivey, obviously. Same thing would happen with Cade Cunningham, obviously. So I hope for everyone who continues to believe that two big men needs to be forced, this game was just a pure example. Now look, the Pistons may do this lineup again and they'll probably lose the next game. That's probably going to happen because these players are not that good. But when you watch the game, their offense looks like they're actually running a functional offense when you have one big and then guys around the pick and roll threat with the guard and the big that provides a lob threat and a pick and roll threat with shooters around them. And then on the defensive end, you actually have two wings who can move their feet and stay in front of guys defensively. Like that right there just made so big of a difference for the Detroit Pistons that they went out here and obliterated the Indiana Pacers. We talked about the numbers in our last podcast. The numbers with two bigs on the floor. Screw Wiseman. We've seen a ton of sample size this year with every other two big tandem. It's awful across the board. It's been trash. It's not good. It's not going to work. With Wiseman, again, if they want to try Wiseman and Duren, I guess, because you haven't actually seen them play together yet. So if you want to try it, I mean, whatever, I guess. But it's not going to – it's just not working. Two bigs, if one of them cannot shoot and both of them also can't play defense, or both of them just can't play – can't rebound – what's the point of running two bigs? You're just playing out there with a handicap. And you saw that in this game against Indiana. Basketball is not a hard game to understand. It's not rocket science, okay? You get yourself a pick-and-roll ball handler. You get yourself a pick-and-roll lob threat and surround them with shooting. It's just that simple. And you get a guy who is also smart off-ball that can cut like Amarui was when guys closed out, and you have a good playmaking point guard next to him. You're going to see good basketball, good offense. Like, it's not hard. It's not hard. And for me, this is what I'm going to say about it. Forget Killian Hayes. Jane Ivey and Kate Cunningham, I'm tired of sacrificing their development for the sake of forcing two bigs. Because those two guys operate best when they have spacing around them in a pick-and-roll threat. They don't need two bigs clogging up the paint when they both love to go to the rim. They don't need that. So, look, if you want to develop two bigs and want to go that way, do that in the offseason or something. But I'm tired of sacrificing. I know Cade didn't happen for the majority of this year because he's been out. But even the first 10 games this year and before All-Star break last year, before they got Marvin Bagley, tired of sacrificing his development, making him play with a clog-spaced floor just because we want to try two bigs. And the same thing for Jane Ivey. Stop. Just stop it. Unless you're going to get a four who can space the floor and actually play as a stretch four, stop. This is 2023. It's not 1990 no more. If you're going to play two bigs, you need a forward position who actually can space the floor and play defense. If you don't have that, you're just putting yourself in a handicap and you're hurting everyone else on the floor. It's a little developing those two guys and just trying to see if it works. Yeah, but in the process of that, you're hurting everyone else they're sharing the floor with, because now they're operating with a less spaced floor, tighter driving lanes, etc. It was just so much better watching this offense try to play when they had this lineup on the floor. And it wasn't just the starting lineup. Over the last few games when they've played Amarui on the floor with one other big, they've won those minutes. Those minutes have looked good. This is data that we've seen all season, that the two bigs just doesn't work. We've had a full season of it not working, whether it's Bagley and Duren, whether it's Duren and Stu, whether it's Stu and Bagley. Like, none of those work. They don't. And the limited sample size we saw with Wiseman and the other big, it don't work either. So just stop, please. Just stop it. Stop it. If you get a big in the draft or something, a four in the draft that can shoot or something, then you can try it again. But with these four bigs, you don't have a fit. It's not working. Stop it, please. It was so much fun to watch good basketball today, though. So much fun. It literally looked like they were having so much more fun playing out there today. Their offense looked functional. It's not hard. Basketball is not rocket science, man. It's easy to understand. Just put out lineups like it's 2023, man. It's easy. Anyways, coming up, Eugene Amarui signs a second 10-day, and is he possibly a keeper? He's playing really well. We're going to talk about how he's played recently and also discuss whether he actually is a keeper moving forward. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Ibotta. Groceries, school shopping, and getting a little something for yourself, you know you're already doing it, so why not get cash back for it with Ibotta? You can earn cash back on every shopping trip. Ibotta gives you cash back on hundreds of grocery items, from produce to personal care to pantry goods. Either link your loyalty account or upload your receipt after you shop and get your cash back. It's just that easy. The average Ibotta user earns $120 a year in real cash back. That could cost or cover the cost of an entire shopping trip. Or you could use your cash back to buy that flight that you've been eyeing, that game you're dying to go to, or the fancy dinner that you've been craving. A typical basket of groceries was over $50 more expensive at the end of 2022 than the beginning of the year due to inflation. You can earn 2.5 times that back in cash back from Ibotta, and even more depending on how much you use Ibotta. Ibotta gives you real cash back, not points. Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, you get the real cash back that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. You can earn cash back on hundreds of online brands and retailers too when you start with Ibotta, including Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code LOCKED when you register. Just go to App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app and use code LOCKED. That's I-B-O-T-T-A in the Google Play or App Store and use code LOCKED. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Eugene Amarui, man, is balling. He's playing really, really well. And he was rewarded with the second 10-day contract. But the question I want to ask you guys is, do you guys think that the Pistons might actually have themselves a keeper? And before you answer, before you go in the comment section and answer, or before you guys tweet at me and answer, whatever it is, let me just say this. Put into perspective that the Pistons had Braxton Key on two ways. Cassius Stanley on two ways. They've had other guys on two ways that fans all of a sudden grow to like, and they're not actual real players, and they're just, you know, guys who barely hang on to the NBA or go play in the G League, etc. They're not real players. Thinking about that and considering that, now answer the question, with what you've seen from Eugene Amarui compared to what you've seen in the past from two-way guys, is this just another 10-day contract two-way guy that is just a different look, so now fans are liking him and he's going to end up like the other ones? Or do you actually believe he could possibly be a keeper? I'm going to tell you guys right now, I think he might actually be a keeper. I cannot lie. Doesn't mean he will be. He very well could just be a really nice guy you're seeing at the end of the season, like many, many teams have at the end of the season that do a good job on a 10-day. But when it comes to the offseason and actually assembling your roster, is this guy that doesn't make it. That very well could be the case. And he could be a guy that just isn't, you know, doesn't play well when games probably actually matter. Maybe he is that guy. But I feel better about Eugene Amarui than I have about any of the other 10-day contract guys the Pistons have given over the last few years. I feel better about him than any of the other guys they've given two-way contracts to over the last few years. I think he might be an actual player. And here's why. He's a fine defender. Moves his feet really well defensively. Plays really well on that end. You see him do pretty well with some rotations in this game, specifically against the Pacers. He hustles. He knows where to be defensively. All of that. And he's willing to put his body on the line defensively too. So all that stuff, love to see that from him. The Pistons have desperately needed that on the wings, and he's providing that. So that's amazing to see. But with most 10-day guys, you'll see them try hard defensively. Braxton Key, he tried hard defensively. I think Amarui has shown a little bit more defensively than Braxton Key, but even Braxton Key tried defensively. A lot of those guys who get these type of opportunities know that if they try hard defensively, they'll get a second 10-day, and that's where they can, you know, They can try to make an impact, because most of them aren't very good offensively, can't really do stuff on the offensive end. They can give a lot of effort defensively, though. So what I just described, I don't think would be just unique to Amarui, even though I think he's been a good job with that. What is unique to how Amarui has been playing is how well he's been playing offensively. He's been really good off ball for the Pistons. Over the last three games before this one, he was shooting 50% from deep. He was shooting 50% from the field overall, averaging 11 points and 4 rebounds a game. In this past game against the Pacers, in which the Pistons won, he was a team-high plus 24, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals, 8 of 13 from the field. He was 1 of 5 from deep. But you could see that he's getting comfortable with the outside shots, because now he's taking lightly contested ones. Before, they would kick out, he'd be open, he'd hit those. But now, even with the late closeout coming, he's not hesitating. He's just letting it fly. So that's telling you that he's feeling pretty confident in his shot and feeling pretty comfortable on the floor, knowing that he can miss shots and not have to worry about being yanked, which is cool to see. But offensively, what he's bringing on that end, and in transition, his ability to finish around the rim, his creativity finishing around the rim I've seen lately, all that stuff combined with his defense makes me think the Pistons might have a legit player here. Along with the fact that how well he moves off the ball, him and Killian Hayes have a really good connection already. Because when you have a passer like Killian Hayes, it's the same thing for any guy that likes to cut off ball, especially when they pick up their dribble. Every time Killian Hayes picked up his dribble tonight, when he was coming to Amarui's side of the ball, Amarui would come up like he's taking a handoff and then immediately cut back door. And I think they got like at least 3 buckets off of it. So he's a really good cutter off ball. All that other stuff we talked about combined, I think the Pistons might have a player, man. And the crazy thing is, if the Pistons actually like what they've seen from him and they think that he's a player, they think he's actually a player, He's at a position of need. We've talked about it on the podcast all year. Their biggest, the biggest disappointment for the Pistons, or their biggest weakness, is their wing room. It's awful. They have one of the worst, if not the worst, wing room in the entire NBA. That's including the three and the four. Okay? It's terrible. It's terrible. It's the worst in the NBA. And only one of them could play defense before Amirui, and that was Isaiah Livers. Isaiah Livers was the only one with any kind of athleticism. The only one who can stay in front of people on defense, on the perimeter. And then offensively, Isaiah Livers is the only one who provide defense and then also shooting. You had Bojan that could shoot but didn't have much defense at all. You got the Bagley who can't play defense or shoot, whoever else you want to say at the fork. Stu is inconsistent from deep, plays defense some, et cetera, et cetera. Eugene is playing really well at a position of need for the Detroit Pistons. And his feel for the game is honestly pretty impressive too. Because he's not, it's not like the Pistons are running plays for him. It's not like he's coming off dribble handoffs and isoing or coming driving to the hill or driving, not driving to the hill. What's wrong with me? Driving to the rim. It's not like that's what's happening here. He's playing off the transition. He's playing off of offensive rebounds. He's playing off of backdoor cuts. He's playing off of catch and shoot threes. He's playing off of steals. He's doing all of that. Mind you, when something's not there for him, when he gets the ball, he immediately gets it moving. So is it possible that the connector that we've been talking about that the Pistons needed somewhere on the roster outside of Livers at the wing position, is it possible the Pistons might have found it with the Amirui? Is it possible? I think it is. I think it's possible. I think he could be like a 10th guy for the Pistons possibly. Now, could he also just be playing, you know, in a hot streak here and come back down to earth? That could be possible. I don't know enough about this dude in college or previous stops, whatever. But what I've seen from with the Pistons, I think it is possible that he could be a legit player for them, and he might actually get a contract with them moving forward. I think it's possible. And that you want to say a lot of good things about him, man, because it's tough. You know how hard it is to come in on a 10-day contract to a completely new environment, completely new team, completely new teammates, come out on the floor, and not only not play scared and not play timid, but then also play really well on both ends of the floor and continue to play really well to the point where you're starting to get comfortable and confident enough to take 13 shots within a game like he did tonight. You know how tough that is? So give him a ton of credit. Whether he ends up getting cut, whether he ends up not getting another 10-day, whether he ends up not getting a rest of the season contract, whatever ends up happening with him, if it doesn't work out with the Pistons, he deserves a ton of credit for how he's played. And I think at the very least, he's put on tape for the rest of the NBA, the other 29 NBA teams, that they should be interested in him. I think he's an NBA player. He may not be a great NBA player. He may not even be a very good one. Okay, he may be a guy who's like 10 to 15 on a rotation. Okay, that may be him. But I've seen other guys. Like, we've seen a guy on the floor with the Pistons today, Buddy Boeheim. He's not an NBA player. Like, that's a dude that shouldn't be in the NBA, I feel comfortable saying at this point. Amirui is a guy I think that should be in the NBA on a contract. Whether that's in a rotation or simply an end-of-bench guy. He should be in the NBA, I think. I think I feel pretty comfortable saying that about him based on what we've seen from him in his time with the Pistons. I hope he continues to play like this the rest of the year. Because if he does, I think the Pistons would feel confident by giving him a contract, at least for next season. And if he plays like this the rest of the year, I'd feel completely okay doing so. He's playing really well. Only time will tell, though, if he's just another one of these 10-day guys, two-way contract guys that play like this and then just flame out, or if he's actually someone who plays really well and earns himself a contract moving forward. We'll see how it turns out for him. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that he's going to be a long-term, maybe not long-term, but do you think he'll get a contract beyond the 10-day and could be a legit player in the NBA, possibly for the Pistons? Let me know down below in the comment section or over on Twitter at Cougar Hill. When we come back, coming up, James Wiseman and Jalen Duren play a very good game, one coming off the bench, one as a starter. We want to talk about how they've played lately, then also talk about the dynamic of who's starting and who's coming off the bench in this scenario. We're going to talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. Oh, sorry about that, YouTube. Did not mean to do that. We got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, FanDuel. The midway, or actually way past the midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 as bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. A player prop that I've been taking is Jaden Ivey's assist, but since Jaden Ivey's been out, I think you feel pretty comfortable taking Killian Hayes' assist. Over the last two games, he's had a double-double, 10-plus assists both times. If he starts again without Jaden Ivey, I'd feel comfortable, again, going Killian Hayes over 7 assists. That kind of thing right there is what I'm looking at over at FanDuel. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Jalen Duren, incredible game tonight off the bench. 6 of 11, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Played really, really well off the bench for the Pistons. Was a plus 21 in this game. James Wiseman, really good game starting here. 18 points, 14 rebounds with 3 blocks and 15 from the floor. And over the last 7 games before this game, James Wiseman is averaging 14 points a game, 8.4 rebounds on 63% shooting. He's been incredibly efficient for the Pistons. He's finding his way. He's getting more comfortable. The Pistons are finding better ways to get him the ball. They drew up a few plays in this game for him to come off a down a backdoor screen. You know, what's the best way to describe it? You got a guard, basically. You had R.J. Hampton a few times on one block. James Wiseman on another block, on both blocks there. Killian Hayes at the top of the key, and then R.J. Hampton would come screen his guy or James Wiseman's guy. James Wiseman would come around the screen, flash in the middle of the court, and Killian Hayes would hit him, and he'd get either a face-up right there in the middle of the court in the middle of the key, or he could just go right into his hook shot. They drew that play up a little bit for him tonight. So they're finding better ways to use him. So he's played really well. Jalen Duren's played really well. I really love what we've seen from them, and I feel pretty confident with them being the starting five and backup five of the future for the Pistons moving forward. Now, however, this is where we have to get to. I don't want to call it negativity, but a little bit of a problem here. So I had a few of you guys reach out to me and be like, look, completely fine with giving James Wiseman minutes, completely fine with picking him up and giving him a ton of minutes to try to develop and fight through some of his struggles and weaknesses, try to develop it, et cetera, but it better not come at the cost of Jalen Duren. I told you guys when the trade initially happened, after I saw some of you guys saying that, I came on the podcast, I said, that would be foolish. There's no way that they're going to do that with Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren's the future, but yada, yada, yada. If anything, they'll try James Wiseman next to Jalen Duren, but Jalen Duren obviously is number one on the priority list. I said that to you guys, and I kept pushing back at people who kept saying that that was a possibility. I was like, no, that's no way that would happen. Then Jalen Duren's first game back, he comes off the bench. Jalen Duren's first game back, he comes off the bench, and I come on here and I say, well, don't read into it at all. Why read into it? It's his first game back. They did the same thing with him last time he came back from an injury. First game, they brought him off the bench. Then the next game, he started. It's probably the same thing here. Then the following game, he comes off the bench again. I come on here and I say, okay, well, he's probably on a minutes restriction. So that's probably why. But next game, he'll probably be back in the starting lineup. Now we're 3 games in, and he is still coming off the bench. Now look, Wiseman has been playing really well. Wiseman's playing really well. I'm sure everyone's extremely happy with what they've seen from Wiseman, especially offensively. He still has a lot of areas to improve, but we've been really happy with how Wiseman has played. But if he continues to start over Jalen Duren, we might have a problem. We might have a problem because Jalen Duren is still better than Wiseman. Jalen Duren projects to be better than Wiseman still. He's better defensively. He's a better, much better rebounder, much better passer right now. And this is not to try to pit them against each other. I just said I like them both as the five for the Pistons moving forward. However, let's not like I'm starting to get a little concerned that we might be forgetting who actually is the starting center of the future as of right now, at least. Okay. Like if James Wiseman, like a few years, all of a sudden ends up better than Jalen Duren, then okay, go right ahead. Have fun with it. But Jalen Duren is their top pick from this past year. Jalen Duren is the guy who's been exceptional as a rookie as an 18-year-old this season. Jalen Duren is the one that showcases short roll passing, has been really good in the playmaking department, has a really high ceiling in that department. Jalen Duren is the one who's the better rebounder. Jalen Duren is the one who's a better screener at this point. And Jalen Duren also is the one who's a better defender, I'd say, at this point. Along with the fact that he simply should be higher on their priority list than James Wiseman. So, look, I have no problem with giving James Wiseman close to 30 minutes a game off the bench. And look, I'm completely cool with that. But, look, I will have a problem if he continues to start over Duren for the rest of the year. I'm not going to like that because I think Jalen Duren is clearly better and should clearly be higher on the priority list. And if he isn't, that's going to be a little bit concerning to me. That would be concerning to me. So for all of you guys who brought this up as a possibility, was in the comments tweeting me all this stuff, and I kept pushing back at it and was like, there's no way, blah, 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 blah. I think we're now at officially, we're three games with it now, with them both in the lineup, and one of them, and Duren continues to come off the bench. I'm at a point now where I'm officially with you guys to the point of, if this continues to happen, I'll be a little bit concerned and a little, I don't want to say angry, but disappointed would be the word. I'd be a little bit worried about it, but we'll see how it happens moving forward. Either way, though, they're both playing extremely well, and you love to see it, especially in this game against the Pacers. One had 14 rebounds, one had 11. They did a really good job on the glass. The Pistons won the rebounding battle in this game without starting two bigs, who would have thought. But they're both playing really well. But that's just something that I think a lot of us will be watching for the rest of the year. But outside of that, man, I ain't got nothing else to really talk about with you guys. Killian Hayes back-to-back double-doubles. There you go. You guys know. I know you guys have been waiting for me to say something about Killian Hayes. With how he had been playing over the last, like, 10 games before that or so, there's no way I could have came on here talking about his positives either. So I think I can mention at least back-to-back double-doubles for him. He's playing well over the last two games. Love to see it. Love to see him getting to the rim more often than I've ever seen him do. Love seeing him searching out contact, trying to draw fouls at the rim. I love seeing that. It looks like that might be clicking for him. I hope that we see that the rest of the year. Love seeing it. He's playing really well the last two games. But outside of that, man, ain't got nothing else for you guys. Catch you guys in the next one. Stay safe. Hit that subscribe button over the YouTube channel. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen every single day. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. Till next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe. Go Pistons. Until next time, peace out.